I might sound like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but I'll say it. I will not be held prisoner by the mistakes of the past.
What are you doing there? Ira chopping wood or something?
Beat salad?
I'm poking holes through my Lean Cuisine lunch.
All right, here we are, the Ira Kaufman Podcast on Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine 2022. A special, unique episode this time, Sage, and we say that for real, not just because you're here, Ira, but because Rock Riley's here with us. We've got a couple of special guests on this podcast chiming in. Sage, of course, everything you do is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. GM Sean Sullivan, he's ready to take care of everybody personally, Ira, personally. You know what that means. That means Sean is going to say, thank you for reaching out to me. Let's talk a little bucks. Let's see what you need. And I got it for you. You don't get that kind of service anywhere else. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 61 plus years. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Just go to BillCurryFord.com. They've always got something great going. And as Sean told us in his last Best in Class podcast, because he is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, March starts the big not just free agency season, but car buying season. It starts in March. Get to BillCurryFord.com. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call, your first website visit, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Anytime you have any kind of disaster in your home, your business, flood, fire, mold, whatever it is. Sage, you are not here at the Combine, but you were able to listen closely to the special side conversations that local media got with Jason Light, Bruce Arians, and you know, these were 12-minute sort of peppered questions situation. And so, Ira, you listened to those. What was your biggest takeaway from the tone, the message of Bruce Arians, Jason Light here at the Combine?
Well, Steven, unless I'm misinterpreting it, my feeling is they feel they can win the NFC South with a Blaine Gabbert. But I don't think realistically they think they can win the whole enchilada. That's tough, you know, for Buck fans to digest. When you go 29-10 over the last 2 years, they can compete up to a certain point, and they can get into the playoffs, which, Steve, when you think about where this franchise was before Brady arrived, that would have been more than enough for Buck fans. And now it's not, once you've had the taste of the Big Apple and hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. Steve, the other takeaway, which might be even more important, they have zero indications, nor do they have harbor any realistic thoughts that Brady's coming back. Zero. Light talks to Brady. Arians talks to Brady. But they're not talking about a comeback. I mean, Brady might be asking him certain things going forward about his business deals or whatever. He's not coming back, Steve. And the Bucks have every right, in fact, an obligation to move on without Brady. And that's what they're doing, and that's what they should be doing. So any kind of this Brady talk, the friction with Arians, he wants to play for San Francisco. I think it's all been put to rest by what I heard out in Indianapolis.
Sage, I mentioned we're here with Rock Riley. He's the next voice you're going to hear. I'm going to ask Rock the same question. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks fans here as well, although Lee's joining us in a little bit. Rock, you were there. You were part of the onslaught to these two guys getting hit with a bunch of questions. What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, I agree with Ira. The Brady thing is over. So for Buccaneer fans, it was two great years. You got to move on. They've moved on. Number two, and this is something a little bit different that I didn't think of, guys, until we were there right in front of Jason Light, right in front of Bruce Arians. Both of them stressed that they are actually looking forward to this challenge. And even though Light says it's not a rebuild, a reload, it's a rebuild. Because think about it. Think about their legacy. If they were able to win the NFC South, say they go maybe one or two games in the playoffs without Brady, with the retirement of Ali Marpet, with some guys you've never heard of, and maybe some guys from the practice squad and like a Cyril Grayson that came through. Think about their legacy. Wow, they were able to get it done without Brady. Now, I agree, Ira, they're not a Super Bowl championship team, and and it's going to be far from that. But that's what I kind of took out of that. It wasn't like they're thinking about, you know, Arians, oh, my God, maybe I might just hang it up or light. No. So there is some positive on that end. There's a couple more things and I can get into it. But overall, they know this is a reload, rebuild, and it's not a very good NFC South. So they're up to the challenge.
Rock, excellent point, focusing on that division title. I think that's a big reason, guys, that Bruce Arians didn't pack up his bags when he found out that Brady was walking away from the game. He looked at this division, guys. That's what he did. He looked at it. And Atlanta's got Matt Ryan. I think they made a huge mistake sticking with Ryan when they could have traded him a year ago. Carolina doesn't have a quarterback at this point. Very few offensive weapons. New Orleans is in disarray. Steve, I think that's a big, big factor, is the fact that this is a really weak division, maybe the weakest in the league, because at least Dallas is in the NFC East, and they're a quality team. And so that's driving Arians to come back. And also, you know, that they're not going to go on a total youth program because, hey, you win the division, you got a home playoff game, you never know what the heck can happen, albeit, you know, with a Blaine Gabbert or a Kyle Trask, the odds are against you to make some damage in January. But, Steve, I think the fact that this division's up for grabs, I think is kind of shaping their thinking towards free agency.
Well, a couple of things, Sage. Of course, you know, I can't agree with you, you know, wholeheartedly. You know, they got, Jason Light, I thought, made a great point. They got six Pro Bowlers under contract for next season. What team has six Pro Bowlers? We thought the Bucs were going to be good in 2017, Ira, with one Pro Bowler, Gerald McCoy coming back, and most of the fans hated that guy. So now we got six under contract. You know, it's so hard for them to really not believe in this team that has won 22 out of 27 games. I love to throw that number out there, but it's an important thing when you're trying to think of the mentality of the organization. But check out this quote from Light, Ira, SiriusXM NFL Radio yesterday. They asked him a really good question. They asked him, hey, you know, how do you approach this? Are you trying to bring in quantity of your free agents? You know, you got all these guys. You're just trying to bring in as many as possible? Or do you just focus on the big names and then just don't worry about the other guys, just see how it works out? How do you approach it? And Lights, I thought he was going to just completely ignore the question, but he said, quote, I think in a perfect world, you'd want to bring your best players back and do the best that you can to manage your cap that way afterwards. And he wouldn't prioritize his big names, but essentially Light was saying, go get the biggest fish that you have, your Jensens, your Carlton Davises, and if you can get them, great. If not, then you go after the Kappas and the Stinneys and the Golstons and those guys. I don't know if I agree with it, but it just shows how difficult the balancing act is here.
Well, I give Light credit, Steve, for being honest, and I think he's right. And you left Godwin's name out of that, and you shouldn't, Steve, because in my mind, and I don't know about yours, Steve, I think he's the number one priority.
He is. He is.
And I'm going to write about that later this week. But I think that's the right one. You live with Skinny leaving. You live with Kappa leaving. The shocking departure of Marpet. I think that gives Jensen quite a bit more leverage in the negotiations, whether to stay in Tampa or not. I don't know that you could lose a Marpet and a Jensen, because we know what the Bucs and especially Arians thinks about the priority of the offensive line. But Steve, I understand your point about the six Pro Bowlers. I'm interested in what Rock thinks about this, because you got the six Pro Bowlers, you got some young players like Nunez, Roaches might develop, Tryon. But Steve, it always comes back to the guy under center, because we've been spoiled for the past 2 years. And when you don't have that guy under center, ultimately you can't reach the mountaintop. And that's, you know, we're a little spoiled around here. And we're thinking about the mountaintop and not just the NFC South title.
Ira, both Light and Arian stressed yesterday, offensive line is going to be the biggest key. Because no matter who's the quarterback, who's going to be the running back, the tight end, you're probably going to have a new tight end or two and a wide receiver. It's got to start up front, and that's the biggest thing. So you're right. Keep an eye on the Stinney and the Kappa. Boy, if they could get those guys back. I know Kappa's going to probably look for the money. That's the key. You're right. Here's the other thing too, Sage. I know Arian said that it really pisses him off that Leftwich didn't get a head coaching gig and Todd Bowles. Both are back, so the players, it's going to be the same system. That's a big thing. I'm just looking for some positives in what looks like a rebuild. You know what I mean?
And, Steve, you got to admit it, Steve. The more you hear from Arians, and much more Arians than Light. The one thing that I wish Light had been asked about, Steve, maybe I missed it because he did these ancillary interviews that you know about, Steve, but did anybody ask Light about his thoughts about Blaine Gabbert? All I've heard about it is from Arians. Do we know how Light views Blaine Gabbert?
Well, Light is, I'm going to say, following the company line. He did say in some of these ancillary interviews, you're right, you know, he was doing NFL Network, CBS, Sirius XM NFL Radio. Light did roll with the Blaine Gabbert knowing the system line, and this is his first opportunity to be in a system multiple years. He didn't get into arm talent of Blaine Gabbert or brilliant reads or any of that stuff, but he did very much go there with Kyle Trask, talking about, you know, how well he's been groomed from Brady to all the other coaches, and you know what they're just seeing in practice and all those little details that, hey, he gets an A, but they haven't given him much to do, but he gets an A plus for what he's doing, and it seems very genuine. But you just know, I know Rock would probably agree with me on this, the body language from these guys is that, man, they'd be drooling and they'd do anything to get a top flight quarterback, but it feels like the door has been shut, Ira, that they just know that it's not happening. And speaking of shut doors, Sage, I got to throw this to you. I'm going to play the audio right now for our listeners because you got to hear the audio. It's just too good. The tone of voice and the shift. It's me asking General Manager Jason Light a question about Chris Godwin. Another reporter follows up and then I jump in regarding Ronald Jones.
But where would you say Chris Godwin is now in his recovery?
You know, he's from what I understand, he's doing well. It's a little early to, you know, give a full diagnosis or estimation of when he's going to be ready, but I wouldn't bet against Chris anytime. Chris has meant the world to this organization. And be quite frank, it'd be hard for me to imagine the moving forward without Chris. But so we will see what we can do.
Does that hamper your ability to come to an agreement, not knowing when he might be available or what condition he's, or you just assume he'll be Chris Godwin? And
sometimes you have to bet on the guy, you know.
Is Ronald Jones one of those guys? Do you feel like he's a priority for the team to bring back?
We'll be looking at all options at running back. Appreciate Ronald for what he's done. Had a great year for us 2 years ago, the year before. But we'll see. We'll have to see what the market bears, and we'll have to see where we're at.
All right, Ira, so we heard that fun stuff. Basically, Jason Light talking about how Chris Godwin is a guy that they can't imagine having an organization without. And then I jump in and said, is Ronald Jones one of those guys? And Jason Light proceeds to say in so many words, thank you for your service, Rojo. Thank you very much.
You're not wrong, Steve. Your interpretation's not wrong. At this point, it'd be very surprising if Jones is back. Even if Fournette left, Rock, even if Fournette left as a free agent, I don't think the odds are that Ronald Jones comes back anyway. I think they're ready to move on with Vaughn. Maybe I'm wrong. And then, you know, you've got to have some depth behind Vaughn. I think they feel that he can block, which is a big thing for Arians. Rock, you know, a lot of people don't, what are you worried about, a running back blocking? Well, Arians keeps talking about it. He can't go 5 minutes without talking about the blocking skills of a running back in his offense. And I think he thinks Vaughn can get the job done in that regard, as well as being a lead dog. So I think we've seen the last of Ronald Jones, gentlemen.
Yeah, I actually was laughing. I was standing right next to Steve, and I almost laughed out loud. Like, that's hysterical, the body language. Like, Ronald Jones, oh, he is gone. And, you know, we might see, sometimes you get these running backs in the draft. So we haven't even talked about the draft. I'm sure they're going to, you know, get a running back. But Jason Light, it was all over his face. And I got to say this to you, Sage. I shook his hand right after they did that little scrum. And I said, look at you. You're losing the weight. Everybody's talking about Arians. Arians lost 54 pounds. And I said, how's your Achilles? He goes, well, if I can get back on the golf course, that's how it's going to be going. I said, Jason, what are you, on the same diet? You're both losing? His palm was so wet and sweaty, like he was sweating meeting the media and trying to answer these questions without Brady and the retirement of Ellie Marpet and who's going to be here. I thought it was kind of funny, Sage.
you know, Rock, you know why he's sweating? Because he's standing in front of Steve Isbitz, who's like Mike Wallace, you know, in a 60 Minutes interview. By the way, Steve, we talked about the takeaways, and I said I think they've closed the book on Tom Brady. Here's another one, guys, and I know it didn't get past you two gentlemen because you're so wired about every word the guy says. For any Buck fans out there, and there are a few of them, Steve, you know that, they were thinking, at least contemplating, the return, the great return of Jameis Winston. Not happening, Steve, not happening.
Yeah, not happening at all. We'll talk about that a little later, Sage. But Rock did mention weight loss, so I do have to throw a couple things out there, Ira. First, we know how much you love Big Storm beer, the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, your Kolsch when you're at the tap rooms, either in Odessa near your home there up in Newport Richey off State Road 54, or, of course, the flagship in Clearwater on 49th Street south of Almerton, and, of course, Amway Center, Big Storm Brewery right there. The tap rooms open 7 days a week and in Cape Coral, and they sell it at Publix. Wavemaker Amber Ale, Palm Bender IPA. You just love them all, Ira. When Lee and I went hunting for celebrities, if you will, Wednesday night, we hit a little bit of a jackpot. We ran into Bruce Arians having a cocktail. Arians was very cordial. You know, it's off the record conversations. I can't really talk about it here, but we got a chance to talk to him, and Lee even told him a story, which was kind of funny. And I said, "Hey, Bruce, you know, Ira, if he was here, he would have heard you say that you're down 52 pounds." Because I asked him that to start the little scrum. I said, "Hey, what's the number? What are you down to now, Coach?" But anyway, I said to Arians last night, I said, "Coach, you know, I read in the Philadelphia newspaper that you're down 50, and I say to Ira on the podcast, and he says he's up 7 from his goal. I said, you got to help him out. You know, you guys got to stick together." He's like, "All right, I'm going to take care of Ira. I'll either roast him or I'll get him on the right track. But I think I'm going to roast him. Get in touch with me."
You know, it was a great part of that conversation, Rock. The great part for me was he won't say what his maximum weight was. He won't talk about it. It must have been a whopper, Rock. Must have been a whopper.
He did say that. He goes, "You don't know what I was. My highest. That I didn't. I know. You're right."
I will tell you this, Ira. I will tell you that he was in the ballpark of 300, very close to 300 pounds.
I do believe that.
Let me throw you this, Ira. There's a lot of fun stuff going on here, and we'll have more to share when we talk to you next time about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we're getting and working on. But, Ira, yeah, you are missed here at the Combine. A lot of people coming up because we got the big banner that says Ira Kaufman Podcast, and your face is on it, right? So, like, "Oh, where's Ira?" You know, so we've had a few of those. I'm sure there will be more.
Any females asking for me, Rock? Anybody?
No, they're usually like overweight a little bit and out of shape, but no. We did. We had a beautiful female, and we said sorry, and she looked like she was like down about it.
Rock's lying. He's lying. There's never been no women yet. We'll let you know. You had one last time we were here. One, but yeah, I think you can over under is 1.5, Sage. Look, Ira, John Lynch is here. I talked to him early this morning. I'm going to share some of that conversation right now. I think the important part of the conversation, I said, "Hey, look, the fans are out there, as a sect of them anyway, giving Ira a bunch of crap for failing with Rondé Barber, in addition to some other stuff."
All right, John, it's been a year since you got that news, a little year plus that you got to the Hall of Fame. Fast forward a year, what's your favorite memory of being a Hall of Famer?
Well, I think you always go back to the knock on the door. I mean, it was just, you know, even though you knew that at some point that was coming, they did a great job of kind of hiding when it was happening. And so when they showed up, that was a complete surprise. And finally hearing that news, you know, I'd waited quite a while. So that was special. But then I would say, you know, being in Canton and sharing that with your best friends, family, former teammates, coaches, personnel people, you know, they all came. And that was just so heartwarming. So to experience that with the people you're closest to and get to share in the elation, because so many people were responsible for it, that's probably what the best memory is.
And when you found out this year that Rondé Barber didn't make it, and he said the other day that you taught him patience. You know, he was frustrated on the golf course. He's part of a tournament in Tampa. Yeah. And they asked him, and he said, "Well, my good friend John taught me to have some more patience, so I'm focusing on that." But what was going through your mind when you found out he didn't make it?
Just, I hurt for him because he belongs. And you know, what I tried to impart on him, just because you didn't get in doesn't mean you don't belong. Your time is coming. I mean, it's just, it is. And so that's a hard perspective when you're in it. But I think I can look back now, and easy to say once I got the news, but I know that Rondé, I've said it many times, his time is coming, and you do have to exhibit some patience because the voters have a tough job. But Rondé will be in there, and when he is, we're going to have one heck of a party.
Yeah, the fans in Tampa were giving Ira all kinds of grief, like, get him out of there, he's too old, doesn't know what he's doing. So it was Rondé stood up for him.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience, and you know, the experience is all the people in that room who don't tell you about what goes on in that room. But they'll tell you that Ira presents as well as anybody in this league, and he's passionate about his guys. He's as prepared as anybody. So I'll forever be, you know, people said that too with me, and sure. No, this guy took it from the start, and Ira's tremendous. He's a treasure, and, you know, he's representing Rondé really well.
Jason Light said yesterday that he called every team in the league shopping for quarterbacks in February, every team. So you got that call. And was it a long call?
I'm getting into all those details. Jason's a good friend, and he's done a tremendous job with the Bucks. So I'm sure he'll have a plan. He works hard at it, and you know, he's made a lot of great moves there. So I'm sure I expect that they'll find somebody that is great to work on.
All right, Ira, what's your reaction to John Lynch right there?
Well, he proves again, Rock. He's the epitome of a class act, Rock.
Oh yeah,
class
oh,
act.
Yeah.
You look it up, you see John Lynch. I can tell you one thing. David Baker is the former president of the Hall of Fame, and he told me once after Lynch got in, he told me that he shouldn't be saying this to me, but every year when Lynch didn't get in, those 7 years, 8 years, Baker was devastated. And, you know, he's not supposed to play favorites, Baker. He doesn't participate in the meeting, but he was crushed every year when Lynch didn't get in, because you can't have a better representative for the Hall than John Lynch. And I so much appreciate Lynch's comments. If anybody had a reason to turn their back on me, it would be Lynch and his family, year four, year five. What's this guy doing? But he never did. He never did. And he always showed confidence in me. And, you know, maybe talk to some other selectors saying, hey, don't blame Ira, he's doing a good job. You know, look, I'm as disappointed as anybody about Rondé Barber, but, you know, Lynch's confidence in me, it means a lot, guys.
You know what? I'm glad that he mentioned that, because a lot of times fans don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We're seeing it here, Sage. So for John Lynch to say that, I know that. Talking to people in the NFL, you do a great job. You did a great job. And I know eventually Rondé's going to get in, Sage.
No question about it.
Ira, I just had pasta salad and a turkey wrap for you. In your name.
Lee, you drove me crazy yesterday, because the first thing you do when you get to town is you go to Shapiro's Deli and you show me a picture of a pastrami sandwich. I'm drooling, Lee. I'm drooling.
Shapiro's institution in Indianapolis. Got to go to Shapiro's. Just like you got to go to St. Elmo's. All right, Ira, you're fixated on doors. You're always talking about door number two, door number two, door number two. Arians threw you a curveball. In theory, in heart, he threw you a curveball. He opened up door number one, and he said Kyle Trask is door number one. Your thoughts?
Lee, I saw your story on the Arians interview with Andrew Siciliano. Lee, the suggestion that Trask would win a one-on-one competition against Blaine Gabbert this summer, that conflicts with my information. I'm leaning towards Gabbert winning that competition. Trask has never thrown an NFL pass. Gabbert knows this offense like the back of his hand. That means a lot to Arians. I think he trusts a veteran. What's the one thing Arian keeps talking about as a quarterback? And just ask Jameis Winston about this. Don't turn the ball over. I mean, every time he evaluates a quarterback, what are you looking for? That's always a big part of it. And don't turn the ball over. And in that regard, I think you got to go with Gabbert as a known commodity in Arian's system. And Lee, I'll say this, if Gabbert does beat out Trask and they can't get any veteran quarterback in free agency or a trade, that'll tell you a lot about Kyle Trask. I think it would be Gabbert's job to lose in training camp, the way I look at it.
You gave half of the Bucs fans the shivers. They're going to have to go to an urgent care facility, get an adrenaline shot so they don't break out in hives.
Lee, that's interesting, because I think if the decision was Jason Light's, on an even playing field, I think he would lean more towards Trask because, Lee, let's face it, sooner or later, when the season ends, you want to know something about Kyle Trask. And if Kyle Trask is the backup, he entered the 23 season not knowing any more about Trask, really, than you do now. If you give Trask the job, at least you can make an evaluation of him, Lee. If he stinks out the joint after 6-7 weeks, you make the move to Gabbert, and then it tells you, you know, probably what all you need to know about Trask. But it's not up to Jason Light, not this decision. The starting quarterback is going to be decided by Bruce Arians. That's the way it should be, Lee. And in that regard, I think his familiarity with Arians gives Gabbert the leg up.
Sage, when you come back from the beach and you get home and you find mold and you have a flood or you've got storm damage or both, what do you do right away?
Your first call has to be to Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them immediately. Don't waste any time.
Exactly, Ira. You don't mess around. You go to floridaselite restoration.com. You give them a call. And Sage, business owners, property managers, air conditioning companies, plumbers, anybody who services clients that have disaster situations, they've got to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately as well. Reach out to owner Josh Martin. You can find him through the website and find out how Josh and Florida's Elite Restoration can take their vast experience and put it to work for you. And they're an honest company that deals with customers of all kinds in a straightforward and trusting manner, which is rare in the restoration business. Florida's Elite Restoration, Josh has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So he knows the other side. He knows how to make sure you and your clients don't get ripped off and how to give great service so everybody's happy. Florida's Elite Restoration, reach out to Josh today, floridaselite restoration.com.
Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the way to go. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's an impressive company, Lee. They got strong direction and strong leadership.
Ira, I want your feedback on something I heard from Peter Schrager this morning, NFL Network. I don't know if you watched any of the video of Light from yesterday.
I saw Schrager and Light yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Schrager told me, basically, the Bucks are putting this out. Again, I don't know if they're putting it out for a reason or not, but they're putting it out that there's not going to be anybody available in a trade. Now, I don't know if that's a smokescreen or not. However, Peter Schrager said when he talked to Light yesterday, this is Schrager's quote, not mine, there is pain in his eyes knowing that he can't get a quarterback of high level.
First of all, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, Lee, because you've watched this over years, as I have. Those two have a very strong relationship, Schrager and Light.
Yeah.
Schrager and Light. Even when the Bucks were lousy, Schrager would talk about Light and the Bucks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2017, 2018, and he would talk about Light. You know, what a great draft 2018 was for Jason Light. So those two guys, they've got a real, you know, solid relationship. Schrager roots for the Bucks anyway, Lee. We know that.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting observation because, Lee, let's face it, as much as they talk about a possibility of a Gabbert versus Trask training camp, Lee, that's not what they want. That's a default position.
Ira, when Lee said pain in his eyes, all I thought was when you go to the buffet and there's not what you want there. It's just pain in your eyes. Or probably more appropriately, Ira, when you used to open up your front door and look at your rickety old Hyundai out there and now you're driving a Ford from Bill Curry Ford. That's the way to go. Rock, what are your thoughts here on this? And then I got a couple to fire at Ira, and we need your opinion on something. You might have to set us straight, Rock. Oh,
you actually can see it in both of their eyes. It is Gabbert or Trask. It is Trask or Gabbert for now. I asked Jason Light, what about the possibility of in this draft? I know you drafted a quarterback last year, but what about the first round? And he was like, this is not a quarterback-driven year. And so I don't think they're going to go first round with another quarterback. Now, I will say this. Both Jason Light and Bruce Arians wanted to stress Trask in this 1 year, learning under Brady, he has changed his diet. He's gotten stronger. And they kept talking about his arm. And that is the one thing that I would notice. When I did go to those practices, mostly all of them this year, he's the first one out. He gets to throw more than Gabbert. And then Brady comes out last. He's always doing his meetings. And I'm like, he's got a gun. Like, he's worked on his arm. Could he possibly be kind of like maybe a Mac Jones and surprise. But the thing is, we know how good these defensive coordinators are. We know he hasn't taken a snap. He wasn't highly thought of coming out of the draft. So you can see it. You can see it in their eyes. I'm trying to look for positives, and there's no other way to look at it, Sage.
Just maybe they look at guys like Bridgewater and Garoppolo and Wentz as maybe not a significant upgrade over the in-house guys, and we're including Gabbert as an in-house guy, even though he's not signed right now. But Steve, there's no line foreman for Blaine Gabbert, you know, as a free agent. No. If the Bucks want him back, he'll be back, and they do want him back. So, Steve, you think I'm wrong in terms of that second level of quarterbacks? Maybe in the Buck mind, they don't think it's a significant upgrade.
Like Lee and Rock just attested, I would agree. That you just see it in their faces that we don't have the juice. We can't get what we want, and we may just be stuck with these guys. Now, like Lee said, it may very well be a smokescreen. And, of course, the X factor is Deshaun Watson's legal situation, when that may be resolved, when it may not be, all that kind of stuff. But I agree with you, Ira, but I almost think that Rock was – maybe I heard it wrong. Maybe he was trying to just sell me that now that Kyle Trask is eating a lot of vegetables, he's going to be a great quarterback. Is that what you were saying, Rock?
Well, here's the thing. You know, yes. What did Christensen say, Clyde Christensen? He got a master's class learning under Brady. Okay, that's great. Everybody, you can go to class. You can have an unbelievable professor. Can you do it in a game? That's the big thing. Both Arians and Light were stressing what you got to give up. How much are you going to give up? And are these other teams, if they are willing to really give up one of these marginal or even veteran that's got some, then what's the deal here? So it just looks like, I don't know if it's a smoke screen, it just looks like this isn't a free agent quarterback situation where Brady picked them. You're going to have to give up so much. They're trying to reload. I just don't see it unless it's some secondary veteran to compete.
And that's a big point, Steve, because let's be realistic. The Bucks will have other, there will be other suitors. If these guys become available, which the Bucks aren't even sure they will be. Well, let's look at Deshaun Watson. Steve, you think the Bucks would be the only team that would show an interest in Deshaun Watson? And, Steve, the other teams have more capital.
Arians really enjoyed himself yesterday at the podium. He had several one-liners, great one-liners. But what about this one? I want your reaction to this. Is Arians' one-liner about trading for a quarterback. If you're trading two first-round picks for a one-year quarterback, it's suicide.
That's a great line by Arians. And that's in terms of locking these guys up, you know, and you have to know that. You have to know that before you sign off on the deal. You can't hope to do it after you sign off on the deal. It's a big risk. You have to know it. By the way, he mentioned two number ones, Lee, and you and I had a discussion last week about Devin White and a number one. Now we're talking about multiple number ones and maybe a player. That's too rich for my blood. I've heard three number ones being bandied about for Deshaun Watson because,
wow,
you know, Rock, legal issues aside, and they're substantial, nobody's got any question about Deshaun Watson as an elite quarterback, a franchise quarterback who's just entering his prime. Those guys don't become available very often.
And you know what? We were right there looking into the eyes of Bruce Arians and Jason Light, and it was like there was nothing there. Like, that's not – it doesn't look like an option. And Arians even said, and we've known that, and I know you've got written about it on Joe Bucks Fan. Arians goes, I know him. I've always liked him. I can't believe the situation, honestly, that he's in. And then that was it. Yeah. And then Jason Light, it was like, it's not happening. So Deshaun Watson ain't happening.
Hey, Steve, one more quick thing for me. You might not agree with this. Some Buck fans don't understand it. Mike Florio doesn't understand it. You know, and, you know, sometimes I agree with Florio, the great Florio. Sometimes I don't. In this case, I don't. Because, Steve, he does a write-up the other day about Arians, you know, one-off remark about, well, what if Brady wants to come back and play for another team? Would you just let him go? And Aaron said, no, absolutely not. Steve, that's the right answer. Steve, it's the right answer. Some Buck fans are screaming, oh, you owe this to Brady. You know what you owe, Steve? You got to look. You owe to the Buck organization. And if you can get compensation, whatever the hell it is, if Brady really wants to play for another team, you ask for the compensation. Lee, am I wrong here?
Lee, didn't he say five? Didn't he say five? Yeah, yeah. He was joking, but some of the writers that don't cover him, they were asking me, "What's? Oh, he's lost it. Oh, he's 69 years old. He's lost it."
That was a throwaway.
I know.
Yeah, that was, you know, he had two great lines about that. First time he was asked about trading Brady's rights, he just said, "That's bad business."
It is.
And then the second time, and I was standing right in front of him when he said, it's like five number ones.
Ira, that would be like trading you for Rick Stroud and 4 years of newspaper subscriptions. Come on.
You know, look, Lee, what if you can get a second round pick for Tom Brady coming back or a late first round pick? You got to take it. And I don't want to hear any nonsense about how cruel this is to Tom Brady. Lee, you got to worry about what's best for the Buccaneers. I'm sorry.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. But you can't be foolish, you know, if he refuses to play for you. You're only, you know, spiting yourself if you don't get rid of him. Assuming that you can find a team in the AFC, I wouldn't trade him to the NFC for anything. That's insane.
I think it would only be the San Francisco 49ers. I would, don't you think?
That would be the only reason
it would take him out. Otherwise, he likes it here.
Yeah, and you know what? If that's the only team he'll play for and Lynch is willing to peddle a first-round pick, and I would too. I mean, you get Brady on that team, yeah, you better make plans for the Super Bowl. I would do it only because otherwise you're basically throwing away a first-round pick.
Yeah. Sage, let me throw you just one line, great line that Jason Light said. He said, quote, "You can prevent yourself from fully mortgaging the future and fully cratering at the same time." And it really just speaks to this crazy balance that they're trying to forge. Yeah. It's like you can't go all in, but you got to look at the future. But you can't go all future because we got a good roster. And it's the stickiest situation that we've seen in a long time. But what I find is strange, Ira, and maybe you guys disagree. I haven't heard any buzz at all from any other teams that they're interested in the Bucs free agents. I haven't heard like some hot rumor of Jensen's going here, Davis is going there. These guys are hot on Whitehead. It seems a little odd. Maybe it's too early, but I don't know. I mean, we're a few days into the combine here. What are your thoughts, Sage? And then I'll see what the guys think. Just jumping in here with an edit. This was recorded just before news broke that the Bills are hot on Rob Gronkowski's trail and that they talked to him prior to the 2021 season. That was reported by The Athletic. Also, I personally, later in the day, around 5 o'clock yesterday, heard that the Jets are very interested in Ryan Jensen. I don't know if that was put out anywhere over the of the internet yet, but I heard that from somebody in the know. So that is another one there. So the rumor mill is picking up. We'll get Sage's response and we'll keep on rolling. Thanks to everybody listening. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean. If you missed a podcast on Apple Podcasts, for some reason they had a glitch and it didn't post there, it might already be there. But we did record one on the 28th, and you can always listen at joebucksfan.com.
Well, it is a little early. Steve, I don't think you're hearing a lot of buzz about any team's free agents because they don't like to talk about them on March 2nd. Normally, when it's a week or two away from opening negotiations. Lee, there's going to be interest in Leonard Fournette. There's got to be interest in a Chris Godwin. Got to be. And we'll see who the Bucs franchise, Lee. If I had to guess right now, Lee, if I had to guess on that franchise label, franchise tag, Buccaneers, Carlton Davis.
I have heard a rumor that if Ryan Jensen gets loose, Bengals are going to be all over him.
That makes sense, Lee.
I don't disagree. That does make sense. But to me, for the Bengals, what makes more sense, if you factor in Mike Brown's cheapness, and he is cheap, he'd spend less money and get either Kappa or Stinney to, you know, their right guard is horrible at Cincinnati. Absolutely horrible. Now, there's the caveat there is, you know, with Ali Marpet leaving, do the Bucs now have, and Arians alluded to this already, Do the Bucs now have a little bit of extra monopoly money to keep all three of those offensive linemen since they won't be paying Ali Marpet?
The idea of losing Jensen and Marpet off the center and the left guard spot, I don't think the Bucs want to go there, Lee.
By the way, about Marpet, I don't know if you read this, Ira. I thought it was a great piece of information, great insight and background. Albert Breer wrote Monday that Ali Marpet, before the draft, you know, he didn't know who was going to draft him. Before the draft, he sat down and he tried to figure out how much money he would need to make in the NFL for him to live comfortably the rest of his life. And it just so happened the Super Bowl year, he reached that mark. Ooh. And, you know, he stuck around another year because everybody wanted to repeat. And I just thought that was interesting that he had a goal.
Lee, I got to think he's one of the few players that approached it like that.
I know. I've never heard of that before.
I say bravo to Marpet. Bravo.
Sage, let me throw this to Rock because this was a something that we had discussed and it came a little bit more in focus yesterday. You and I and Lee had a fantastic debate on a recent podcast, and of course everybody can find them at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Joe Bucks Fan, Podbean, wherever. We had a kicker debate on Ryan Succop. And I asked Jason Light yesterday, I said, hey, are you expecting competition at kicker? You kept a young kicker on the practice squad all year last year, Jose Borgalis. Light didn't hesitate. Absolutely. He's looking forward to competition, and this kid's making his kicks in practice, and Light's all into the competition, he said. I want to ask Rock what he makes of that, and also, Rock, we had a spirited debate on that. Do you think that the Bucks should stick with Succop because he's been a good kicker, and maybe this front office has no clue what the hell they're doing with kickers?
No. You have to. I am so glad you're bringing this up because I was working on my lawn listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast with my headphones on, and I heard this debate, and I started cutting down trees faster than I was before I started because I wanted to jump in. Thank you. Was it you, Lee, that said, you cannot bring in another kicker because, look, Lee, what have you done for me lately? He doesn't have a strong leg. You got it. What is this, a participation trophy that Ryan Succop, just because he's been here, he gets it?
Go,
oh,
Rock.
I'm so glad.
Go,
I'm
Rock.
So
you
glad.
Go,
you got to bring in competition for a kicker. This is 2022, Lee.
Okay, I'm open-minded about competition. But I would just remind you to read through the list of Bucks kickers since 2014 and tell me which name doesn't fit. Succop doesn't fit because he's successful.
Well, he hasn't been that consistent. Not this last year.
Oh, I'm not saying he's John Stenerud. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no.
But it's just the other, this team, for whatever reason, coaches, general manager, I don't know who. I don't think White's actually going out and scouting kickers on weekends. But for whatever reason, this team documented. They don't know what they're doing with kickers. And they finally, whether it be luck, whether it be law of averages, whatever, they get a decent kicker. He's a decent kicker. And I just say, unless this guy, it's his job until he's so bad, you got to run him off.
I might sound like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but I'll say it. I will not be held prisoner by the mistakes of the past.
There you
gentlemen.
Go. There you go, Sir.
Succop, he took a step back last year. He took a step back. And I don't have the same confidence I had in him a year ago. That's all I'm saying.
Sage, we don't have to rehash it, but I'm asking about the competition with the rookie. Now, Jason Light didn't say, and I think this is the nuance, he didn't say, we're looking around for the best available kicker. He said, we've got two kickers, and these guys are going to compete. That means they have a level of faith in this kid that they may go with a rookie untested kicker and possibly put alongside him a rookie, essentially a rookie untested, never thrown a ball quarterback. I mean, that's tough if you want to score 30 points again.
I think Light's telling the truth in terms of the kicker. I don't think it's lip service. I think Light's being honest here. I think this kid has a legitimate chance to win the kicking job. A lot of things are on the table now, guys. Without Brady's presence, it changes a lot of things, including your thinking. It changes it.
It really does. Do you know Borgalis? We were talking about Borgalis, right? And he actually, at the indoor facility, tried to hit me. He was kicking by. He kicks by himself. Oh. Nobody shags for him. It's the life of the backup kicker. And there was one day, I think he was bored, and T.J. Reeves was like, that's target practice. That's what it's termed. They try to take off a member of the media. And it damn near hit me, and then I threw it back to him, and he gave me a big grin. But I saw him out there all last year, and the coaches know it. Like, they can see his leg. They can see what he's doing. So, Lee, it's about competition, not participation trophy.
I'm with you, Rock, because one day during practice, Brady tried to throw a whizzer pass past my head over there, Steve, and I ducked just in time because the Kemper said, look out, Kaufman, look out, Sage.
You know what this means? This means that Ryan Succop will be a Pro Bowl kicker with the Saints next season for New Orleans. Guys, wanted to get your take. Last one, Sage. We appreciate Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping. Big Storm beer, that's what you drink. Rock, are you drinking Big Storm beer these days?
Oh, my God, my Brumosas, that's all I drink at home, man, when I'm listening to the podcast and doing the yard work.
Now, that's 7% alcohol, Rock, so it's a calm down over there.
No heavy machinery. No heavy machinery.
Yeah, I just got that visual of you with the hedge clippers. Of course, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Anytime you have any sort of issue... What are you doing there, Ira, chopping wood or something?
Beet salad?
I'm poking holes through my Lean Cuisine lunch while the Kemper's chowing down on a brisket sandwich.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's where you go. Anytime you have a disaster, call them 24/7, and you will get them to come out, no cost, free assessment in your home. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, interesting line from Bruce Arians. I was asking him about continuity on the offensive line. He said he doesn't want Donovan Smith to have a new guy next to him, meaning a guy who wasn't in the organization last year or a rookie next to him. Now, we remember, Ira, you remember talking to him because he was another one of your favorites. Donald Penn, for years, used to moan about every year, I got a different guy next to me. I don't even know who's next to me anymore. Ted Larson, this guy, that guy. So I think that was maybe a big tip-off that they're going to bring back Stinney or a Kappa at any cost, although Kappa would stay on the right side. But I don't think we're going to see a new left guard to replace Smith. And do you think that has anything to do with maybe they're a little concerned about Smith's focus and motivation? You know, he did kind of take a step up with Brady on him and this new intensity that may not be there anymore. What do you guys all think?
That was an interesting remark. I took it a step further. I thought he was also talking perhaps about the center position. In terms of familiarity with Smith, throwing him off kilter, obviously left guard plays a lot closer to Smith. But I also took it as a possible insight into keeping Jensen as a priority. But I'm with you. They're not going to draft a left guard and throw him in right next to Donovan Smith. It's going to be tough to lose Jensen at this point, guys. I think there's a direct impact on the Marpet departure and their thoughts about Jensen. I think those thoughts have changed in the last 48 hours.
All right. Well, we have silence from the gallery here.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. We've got a lot going on around us, Sage, and we're going to head out. One interesting nugget, just because you sort of referenced it before with the Capitol. We are actually sitting behind or in front, depending on where you're standing, next to NBC Sports Washington. And they've got a radio show going, and essentially maybe most of the last 2 hours was talking about quarterback and what they're going to give up. And we know that they've got salary cap to play with. They've got draft picks to play with. Ron Rivera's been out there very vocal, you know, saying that they're searching hard. So, I mean, if you put those two teams up next to each other, the Washington just has more to offer. And so, you know, and Lee wrote something about, you know, the guys behind us in the other direction. It's a Denver a radio show, and Lee had something up there about how they were blasting Teddy Bridgewater. And, of course, what's their chatter about? Quarterback, and they've had a lot of their focus on their show was on Kyler Murray and that situation, which appears to be settled now that the Cardinals just extended their GM, Keim, as well as Cliff Kingsbury. So, you know, as we close this thing out, quarterback situation is just, you know, we want to fight and we don't have all the weapons we need to fight with. And Jason Light certainly doesn't want to part with any of his core too much. So that's where we are, Sage. We might have to start getting Kyle Trask flags or a Gabbert memorabilia because you told us he's going to start over Trask.
Well said, Steve. And I don't know if Lee and Rock will agree with me on this one, but that tone from Light and Arians yesterday in terms of landing a big fish, it was kind of like a fatalistic tone, like almost like, nah, it's not going to happen. Maybe, you know, it was kind of a shout out to Buck Nation, you know, and it's a bitter pill after you've got Tom Brady. But Rock, do you agree with me that it was kind of a fatalistic tone to it? Like, it's not going to happen, people. It's not going to happen.
No, you're right, Sage. And actually, Dan Lucas from News Channel 8 is here with his camera guy, Bob. And when we walked away, and I was talking with him, and Dan said the same thing that we've been saying after that. No big name is out there. They ain't coming. It's Gabbard or Trask right now, and that's it. I wish I could say something more. I wish there was something brewing, and you still never know, and maybe this is all a smokescreen, but we're just trying to talk. We got to talk reality. We have to.
Ira, I'm in a couple of minutes here. I got to go badger Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Donnell?
Kevin O'Donnell's a good guy. I don't need to badger him. Kevin O'Connell, he's been asked several times about Kirk Cousins, and he dances. He dances so much, Byron Leftwich has to admire him the way Leftwich tries to dance. And I'm just going to hit him with one simple question. When September rolls around, Coach, is Kirk Cousins your starting quarterback or not?
And Lee's going
to
do it.
And Lee's doing it. So Lee's out of here. Sage, yeah. Say farewell to your fans, Ira.
I feel a little jealous about you three boys being up there. Lee, keep those pastrami sandwiches coming. When you get back, I'll take you over to Big Storm for lunch. As for you guys, keep up the good work. You've written 37 stories so far based on two interviews. Keep up the good work.
All right, Sage. And next podcast, we will share some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And, of course, when you're at Big Storm Eating, Lee will tell you all the top-secret stuff that we unfortunately can't share on the podcast, but maybe it'll come out at some point. All right, Sage.
Looking forward to it.
Get out of here, Ira.